Do you want to hear the funniest thing that somebody said that I looked like today? Yes, I just got the Sarah Silverman like literally 2 minutes ago. That's like a typical one. I've gotten like a bunch of them. The funniest one was who's the Von Schweetz kid in Wreck-It Ralph?
Penelope
Von Schweetz.
Penelope Von Schweetz is Sarah Silverman.
Ah, damn it!
That is Sarah Silverman. I haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph, but that makes
sense. You were so close.
Okay, hear me out. You ready?
Yes.
Did you see the Super Bowl commercial? Did you see the Super Bowl? Did you watch it?
Yes.
Did you watch the commercials?
Most of them, yeah.
Okay, did you see the CeraVe, Michael Cera for CeraVe?
I did.
Hilarious. Okay, hear me out. Ready?
You're not Michael Cera.
Marriott Marquis. Add Marcus Mariota for the Marriott Marquis.
Yes.
Incredible. Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Marriott, Mitch and I were calling all of DC. Mitch and I were calling it the Marriott Marquis, the Marriott Marcus. The entire time, and then it spiraled into Marcus Mariota for Marriott Marquis, and a commercial where he changes his Marriott makes him change his name and just switch it.
Yeah, four M's. I mean, for sure. I mean, 3M, that's good company, but 4M,
it's an incredible idea.
I don't see how it's possibly.
I think it's a win.
We should be hired as a branding agency.
I'm full of ideas like this. We haven't recorded in a little bit.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
You miss us?
No, not really.
Mm.
You missed me.
He missed
yeah,
us.
Yeah, we missed you a lot. Oh,
we talked about you on our trip. You.
I live by myself, so I don't talk to anybody about you guys.
He thinks about us all the time, though.
It's true. He journals about me. I know it before he goes to bed.
Chad Gordon for better health.
Chad writes a sticky. He writes a sticky note, just thinking Matt Mariel. Love.
This is not how my Tuesdays go. Mm-hmm. Just to be clear.
Don't lie. Don't lie to the people like that. Should we talk about some volleyball?
No.
We can.
Let's do it. Let's hop into it. It's been 2 weeks since we recorded. We have so much to discuss.
Okay.
First and foremost, we have a new number one.
The Lopes.
The Lopes. Grand Canyon is the currently number one ranked team in the AVCA. Long Beach is at the two. Is that right?
Does every ranking have Grand Canyon as number one?
No easy buckets in AVCA. I don't know about the media poll.
Coaches?
I don't look at Dustin's. I don't know what the coaches.
Coaches is AVCA, right?
Yeah, coaches is AVCA.
There's a media poll too.
Yes. I don't know.
Which is like three people. Why am I not part of the media poll?
You're too famous.
Is this a call for me being on the media poll? I'll mess it up. It'll be so biased.
You're gonna put in people like ironically. That's the problem.
Yeah. It'll be an ironic poll.
Yeah.
We could get a change.org petition started to get you on the media poll.
Do I deserve to be on the media poll?
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Did he say no?
He didn't say no.
You check the footage.
He may have shook his head vigorously.
Why would you want to be on the media poll?
I don't know if I want to. I just think that I deserve a call.
Oh, you just want to be called so you can turn it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it. Okay, that's more in line
more
with
in
what
line
I expected.
My brand? Yeah. Yeah. I just want to get a call saying, hey, would you like to be a part of the media poll?
No. Face. Whoa.
It's going to have to put the explicit mark on this podcast.
Beep this one.
God, making my post-production editing so much more difficult over here.
Yeah, sorry, Bob.
We have no Bob again. So we're not positive if this is recording or not.
We tried to bring in another Bob.
Bob number one is out of office in Hawaii for a week and
for vacation.
Bob number two said he was going to be here, but
didn't show.
Upon further review of his find my friend's location, he's currently running a private lesson in Campbell.
So I don't think he's going to make it.
He forgot about us.
He's
going
to show up in like 3 hours. Okay, so Grand Canyon.
Yep. What do you got?
Stanford is going to play Grand Canyon this weekend. So Matt has to tap out of this one. You have anything on Grand Canyon for us, Matt?
I've been watching a lot of Grand Canyon film this week. We, for Stanford, I think I've watched USC play like 19 games because they always play the team that we're about to play the week before. So I've seen USC play every team. So I've watched a lot of USC, USC Grand Canyon footage. I have nothing to say about Grand Canyon this week. I'm in dialed in mode. The one thing I will say watching film is I have a compliment to give to Matt August, the Grand Canyon assistant coach.
Number one, he watches our podcast.
He does. Friend of the pod. He watches the podcast. So shout out to Matt for that. But number two, I'm watching footage and I'm going through some hitter clips on volumetrics. And I'm watching their middle swing. And their middle goes up and makes this play where he like wipes a ball off the block.
Kid from 352?
Yeah. Yeah. Cameron Thorne goes up and wipes the ball off the block. And great play. But Matt August just goes sprinting down the sidelines. I've never seen a coach more stoked on a play in my life. He goes berserk. I'm gonna post a clip of it I'm just gonna rile up a little Stanford Grand Canyon coach rivalry. But he had the greatest coach reaction on the sidelines.
Better than Daniel Rosai's photo of him going crazy.
Daniel had. When Daniel's fired up, he had some of the most energetic sideline coaching.
Yeah, like very
looks.
Yeah.
No, but Matt August, I think he might have jumped 20 inches off the ground.
I can't wait to see this.
He was showing his vert.
Just his vert off. From Thorne wiping a ball.
Yeah, it was like a long rally and then like a ball play at the net, and from the middle of the court he joust at the net.
What
like
was the score?
One hand throws it all the way out of bounds.
Was the score like 4-1?
I don't remember. I don't remember what the score was, but
high leverage play.
Yeah, but it was an intense play, and he was juiced.
I can't wait to see what the score was and what the. Yeah.
It was probably like 2-2 in the first. I don't know.
SC or is this BYU or
this was against SC? Okay. Yeah, I'll find the clip. I'll post it on my Instagram.
Can we while we're giving a positive to GCU? Can we bring up one problem?
Go ahead.
It's not that bad. I was trying to watch the second match in your live stream. Couldn't get it going.
Live stream wasn't working.
Tech
is hard.
It was fine the first
night. Matt didn't press play on our podcast one time.
Part of it was recorded.
August could have not pressed.
I got the audio.
You listened to
Did
the
you
audio?
Watch the volumetrics of match number two?
I thought you were talking about the audio of the Grand Canyon game. I was like, you listened to the game? That's weird. But no.
I don't even know if volumetrics has audio. It's all just video.
Depends on the video file that they upload. Yeah. Some of them do. Try to watch. Try to support. Try to, get a little Grand Canyon on one screen and then UCLA BYU on the other.
That was a five setter.
Why bother having
night?
Two monitors?
What Didn't was even the second it? Night on that one?
Five setter.
Yeah.
Both five, and they split.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Champlin goes from libero
to outside,
no and way. Then he hits. Sick. I mean, he hit like 800.
No way.
To be fair, he shanked a ton of balls that he needed to have night one. Like,
sure,
they were like easy spin balls, and like he just has them like lined up, and they just hit them weird.
Ooh.
Like, even Sparrow was like, senior guy who like.
Yeah.
Never makes that kind of error. Like, we just had like a bunch of those. Yep. It was super weird. And then night two, he comes out. They don't play that well in the first or the second. And then, like, he's unstoppable. Like, he could do nothing wrong. It was unbelievable. So he won that second match for him for sure. Watch it if you haven't.
I have not seen it yet. We were at Pepperdine.
That's great.
But it was at BYU, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, at BYU is a wash to me.
Yeah, they started bringing in refs from out of town as well and stuff like that. So
wait, for real? You're kidding?
Yeah. So the
wait, love to hear that.
The BYU. I mean,
it's been notoriously.
We know why.
So why did they commit to doing that though?
I don't know if this was a BYU thing or if this was a conference thing or I don't know
I
want to
know the gist of that.
I don't know how that decision was made. But the commentators made it a point a couple times of just like, hey, like
it's a BYU thing.
It might be. Yeah. But it was like, hey, like these folks are from out of town and all this kind of stuff, and they flipped between night one and night two. I thought the reffing crew for all the matches that I watched, and I watched the Grand Canyon BYU stuff, and then I watched UCLA BYU, and I thought everything was fine.
Great.
no.
Still, it's the crowd and it's the atmosphere and it's the everything.
There's stuff, and you like, I mean, you see like coaches like, oh man, like kind of like those 50-50 ones that like end up being like 80-20 when mm-hmm. you're at BYU, they just like, they won 50% of them instead. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, like I could see where if you had that call in that moment, that turns the tide totally. In a set. And that didn't really happen in some pivotal moments. And it's like, okay, well, it's probably what it should be. But no, they were both two great weekends of volleyball at BYU.
Cool.
So good matches.
I'll never forget that Jalen Jasper ball.
Oh yeah.
That was wild. Yeah. I've never seen anything like that.
And there was no challenges left because we had to use,
and they were putting the replay up
because we had to use time. We had to use
of course,
a challenge
of course.
On a, wild. A massively
horrendous
in ball that they called out, and you don't get your challenge back when you that was
right.
back
it was
when
back
you didn't
in the
keep
three
it.
Challenges yeah. and
yeah.
that was it.
Yeah. And then it was just done.
Oh, they kept showing the replay on the broadcast, and everybody was like, oh, this is not good.
Challenge rules have gotten better. I think we were griping on challenges at the beginning, but
we have to have a time limit on challenges.
Completely agree with that. Like time, and I think they've been better this year.
Honestly, minute and a half, we're done.
I think the challenges have moved faster across the board this far throughout the year. I'm saying like the old, you get three challenges and that's it. And whether you win mm-hmm. it or lose it, like if you win a challenge, you need to be able to keep it. That's just I think that's been a must keep rule for challengers.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, in the systems for all this stuff are only going to get better. Like it's never going to be worse than what it is today. Right. Like the cameras are going to get more inexpensive. It's going to cost less to run all this stuff. More of it's going to be automated, and it's not going to take $200,000 to put in something. It's going to take mm-hmm. 15.
Maybe there's a computer vision component that
there. I mean, for sure, there is right on some of this stuff, but like, those cameras, right? Like the reason that BYU has probably the best challenge system around, right, is that they have cameras that are 60, 120 frames per second. Everybody else is filming on a Game Boy Color that's at 6 frames per second. So like the ball's here and then it's here. And it's like it bounced somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Where's the line? I don't know.
We had a challenge this week against Pepperdine where it was Alex Rotman served a ball down the line. And
the sideline one. Yeah.
Yeah. We saw it on the line and they calls it out or says call stands, and Costi goes and asks him and goes, what did you see? He goes, it pixelated right as the ball got there and I couldn't tell. So I had to stay with the call.
Yeah.
He's like,
it was like, that's
how convenient. Yeah. Is there any computer vision updates for us on the Volidork side? Are we still just grinding
still
along
just
right
a
now?
Dork?
We're still a dork. Yeah. Thanks. No, I mean, we're forming the company right now. And that paperwork, I mean, just, I think that's been the biggest thing for us is like, I just didn't know how long it would take to like stand up a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trudging through all of that. And then hopefully here in the next week or two, that'll be stood up and then we can kind of go full speed on some of the stuff. And then I think I'll have a better idea timeline wise of, you know, what's the first product and when does it, you know, kind of get out there.
Yeah.
And when can we start talking about more stuff? And
you know what they say, Chad? If you're not embarrassed of your first launch, you launched too late.
So I'm announcing my computer vision product that I have been working on. I'm just kidding.
Ariel Vision.
Yeah.
Where the ref is always wrong.
I saw what I saw.
I will yell at you. And post it on Instagram.
Redact the names. It's fine.
I do have a question for you. How far away do you think we are from
referees every extinct?
Well, there is a referee
that's
crisis
a, that's
and
a 1B
shortage
question.
My question is, how far away do you think we are from each court? Like we have Baller TV, each court has a camera, but having like a camera on each end line and then the in
tennis.
Out calls
tennis.
Touches being called by
tennis
computer vision. Like, how far away is that?
Yeah, like, I mean, tennis is the right, like, simplified example, right? Of, like, it's just ball in, out.
Yep.
And you could do that with a, you know, with a computer today, right? Especially with, if you had cameras on both sides, yeah, you could definitely do that.
Why are we not doing that?
It takes money.
Yeah.
You got to, like, Baller TV has a huge incentive, right? They make a large chunk of change to be in all of these tournaments and to, you know, be the exclusive whatever.
100%.
And so... you know, and they went back to their, they had the end line for a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. They probably talked to coaches.
They
like,
went to
no,
the,
no coach wants the fisheye.
It's the parents.
It's because the parents pay for Baller TV.
And that's the thing, right? Because grandma and grandpa are buying the Baller TV subscription.
And, so if their team, if Sally's team's on the other side of the court and they don't get to see Sally, they're mad. Yeah.
Tough deal, right? And so, and Baller TV doesn't want to double their capital output there, you know, buy twice as many things. So, yeah, I mean, you could do it, like, technology-wise. It's no problem. Like, maybe you would need 60 frames a second instead of 30, but super doable. The touch calls being automated, that would be tougher.
Yeah.
You'd still probably miss micro-touch type of things.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the cameras that they use, like, the Bolt 6 guys that are doing, like, VNL and, like, we'll do the Olympics and all that, those guys are, like, 200, 240 frames per second. Like, it's super high quality, and it's a really high frame rate, so... If anything moves, you see it, and you see it really clearly. Mm-hmm. So you can go and you can look at all these touches. You're like, oh, the pinky. Was it wind? No, the ball hit it right here, and you know, I got it. But yeah, I mean, they've done a great job with the in-out calls and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, obviously you can do it. Tennis has been doing it for years. But, I mean, it takes money. And volleyball notoriously doesn't have a lot of that. But trending up.
Trending up for sure.
Yeah, my thought is just like, all right, if there's a referee shortage and they, you know, they just changed the rule on doubles, like they're removing a lot of things that are like,
are we going to talk about that?
We can talk about that.
That's a great, we should add that to the non-scheduled
docket.
To the outline. Yeah, that's not a docket. But my thought is like, all right, if you have a referee shortage and you kind of see some of these rules that are being changed, like the double rule is one where it's like, let's just remove the judgment from the referee's hands and just let them play. Right. And it makes it just easier for TV too. Obviously, that's a factor, right? Not ending the rally as much. But if you get rid of a lot of the judgment call on, you know, does the ball spin or, you know, what is a lift versus what is not, so on and so forth. Yeah. More and more things can just be done by a camera and calling in and out. I think you could still, and obviously for club tournaments, you can still have the work teams, you can still have your line judges and, you know, a down ref that calls touches at the net.
The judgment calls are tough though.
Yeah. But doesn't it seem like, it seems a little bit like the strategy is to try and remove some of those judgment calls, right?
Yes, they used to, obviously they got rid of nets for a while. Yeah. But we're really testing the boundary on the judgment calls. Like, is he over or not? And, is it a lift or who touched the ball last or not? Like, that's a tough one. At the speed of the game right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at our teams compete. Look at international volleyball. Very few lifts called.
Right? Yeah.
Wipes. Yeah. Barely calling lifts. Get rid of doubles. Okay. That's another judgment call that's gone. I could see them going back to the nets rule.
The back row attack stuff is judgmenty of like,
sure, you still
up
like
at the net.
But if you had a camera on the net, you'd be able to do that. Sure. But let's say that for club tours, that's not going to happen. You still need a official. You need someone who
but
has
one
like,
official would be fine,
right? Like, yeah. But if you take a ton of that judgment away, and you're like, hey, all you need to watch for is who's the right server. Right. I could see them.
You could have one ref per two or three courts on that.
No, I think you still need one ref per court right now for a club tournament. Because you need to do overs, you need to do, probably still need to do nets,
overs
obviously.
Overs can be automated.
Yeah, but that's
all the stuff when it comes to like these small touches, I think it's going to be the toughest part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Anything that's black and white of like, did the net move because somebody hit it or the ball hit it, right? Like you could probably get that kind of stuff if you had a camera on the net. Again, I mean like, you could also just have a 16-year-old standing as the R2 and just be like, him, he did it, you know, like those guys aren't doing anything anyway.
Yeah.
Neither did John Wallace. John Wallace was the worst down ref I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's got his little dog,
his little squeaky whistle.
He did not
whistle.
Care at all.
And he would call nothing and he'd be great. Getting yelled at by coaches. He's
and
like,
he'd be like, I don't care.
He's like, I don't know.
Maybe it was.
My favorite was always this, like I'm here.
I'm watching. I'm here. Watching here.
He knew the perfect deflection. I was here. I'm watching under. Sorry, digress to talk smack on John Wallace's down reffing skills.
Well, I told a kid to hit another kid when I was the up ref at a tournament for NCBA. So I don't know what could be worse than that. Telling another kid, like, if you get hit under the net, hit him back.
When you're the up ref.
She actually did say that.
I did say that.
No one. I'm not surprised. I mean,
the kid was like, he hit me from underneath the net, and I was like, then hit him back. Like, what do you want me to do?
My eyes were down. You know, I don't know.
I'm watching under.
You gotta get him down there. Yeah.
It's like, what are you going to do about it? You want me to fight for you?
Do you guys have thoughts on the updated double rule?
I have a lot of thoughts on it. I've read like some wild posts on people being so anti.
Yeah.
I thought that I was all for getting rid of it until I read how much people hate it. And I understand their side of it a little bit.
How much of that is like, get off my lawn?
It's a little get off my lawn.
Okay.
But like also the underside setter is gonna get shit on for this.
Why?
Because the tall physical kid now gets to go and not be as clean. So you've got these undersized kids that are just athletes that touch the ball really well. And like you see their touch and you're like, man, this kid can set a ball. And now you get rid of the double rule. I will say the opposite side of it is like, nobody's going out there trying to double a ball. Like you're trying to lay a ball up there for a hitter so that you can like, you're putting the ball in the right place. So like, obviously the technique is going to be the technique, but there's also a part of it that's like the undersized setter that like has a good touch on the ball is now going to get overlooked a little bit more because you can have, not to talk shit, you can have a kid like the Texas setter who has a horrible touch on the ball, and that kid will get recruited over the small kid who's got a good touch because who cares? So I understand the side of it that is like,
I'd push back on that.
I mean, I do push back on it a little bit too, but coming at from an undersized setter, like I get
struck a chord.
It does make me think about the little kid who is training at a high level, and maybe the sport develops into not that kid getting overlooked a little bit more.
I understand all that. I mean, the point, like we joke about, hey, volleyball has no money. It has no money because there's no advertising. It's not on television. Yeah.
Totally.
Right. Like money. Got it.
Yep.
So you need to do it for the fans to help the TV product. I understand it.
Yep.
I don't really agree with the get off of my lawn folks, because at the end of the day, like just because I can double it doesn't mean it's hittable.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, I know plenty of big setters that can't like locate a ball. Mm-hmm. Yes. They couldn't locate it with one or two like touches on the ball. Like totally. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't think I'm not even like split. I'm probably like 90-10.
I'm right? Like 80-20 on it. Like I agree that the double rule need, like, let's take away more judgment calls. I get that.
I'm like 99-1. Like, get rid of the double.
Yeah.
Great.
Get rid of it. Like, just there's okay. If you double it and you see someone who just absolutely spins the ball, you know how hard it is to hit that ball?
Okay, so I asked you this question last night, right? Of like, if, this is such a weird, I have to put my drink down because I have to show you. If the double rule is being...
I'll hold this for you.
If the double rule is going away, can you...
Oh, right.
Can you, at the pin, like let's say you pass a ball to the pin, can you go here?
No.
Why?
Because it's not a single move, right? Like, that's the point. That's how the double is called.
But how fast it...
Can't, no chance.
Yeah. No, the obvious answer is
will
no.
Will the sport evolve into some sort also, of to be new clear, they're, touch?
To be clear, they're not removing it on the third contact. It's only being removed on the second
contact.
Yeah, boom, you can't double the first one anyway.
Answer. Okay,
right.
Fine.
But like, you mean like from like an attacking standpoint? Like, could I get up here and just like swat at it with two hands?
Go
and,
boom, boom. Like,
no, she's talking.
I meant
like,
just almost just like, hand over, like redirect
it with so a right. So I've seen a bunch left. Of TikToks being like, can I now go here and then go and hit the ball myself? No. And obviously, you can't do that. No. But how fast the game goes, can you start to juggle the ball?
Yeah.
To be
fair, it's on the second contact only.
Okay.
Because it. Well, it's not even just a second. It's as long as the ball is not being played over the net.
So we've gotten rid of the first contact double. We've gotten rid of the second contact double.
Unless you're dumping, still would be a double if you double while dunking it or whatever.
Yeah.
On an attack.
Yeah, you cannot attack with a double, which they probably were in a room and
thought of that exact situation.
Had a couple of martinis. We're like, guys, we could change the game.
They did not.
Yeah, they're no fun.
They didn't have. They didn't have fun while coming up with the rules.
No chance.
I'm 99% for it. Like,
I don't want to be the devil's advocate, by the way. I don't. I want the double world.
Yeah, you're 80-20. I got
like,
you.
I get it. But.
The main thing for me, it's TV. Like, let's make this as clean and simple as possible so that we can make this sport watchable for a common fan. Yeah, yes. I get it. The beach purist, it's like no spin whatsoever.
Get off my sand.
If I go play in a Santa Cruz B right now, it's harder to play the B than it is to play in the open.
Yeah.
Because every B player is like, nope, that ball spun 2 centimeters, double, you're out. No, like, let's play the game.
Yeah.
Let the game be played. Let everyone watch and see how great this game is, not what just happened? Why did they lose the point? What was that?
You can be an Olympic level setter and touch a ball in a B and be like, I literally can't set the ball without spinning a little bit. Like, it's ridiculous. It's so hard to do. So like, why would we play like that?
Yeah. I mean, and the other argument of the, like, the little setter, like small setter versus bigger setter, I talked to Taylor about this, Taylor Averill, and he was communicating about like the different setters that he's hit off of. And we were talking about the big setter movement, how there was like a movement in the NCAA for like, let's get the biggest guys we can.
There's a little setter movement. The Loy Ball. Right now.
Yeah. Like after Loy Ball, everyone's like, I want a big setter.
Winder
big setter.
Might be a great example of that.
The 6'6" lefty setter.
Right.
For sure.
And Taylor was talking, he's like, there was a setter in the USA gym. He's like, I just couldn't hit off of him. Yeah. Like he was up here and he was bringing the ball down to me. And we had no connection. And he's like, he's a great setter. He's a great player, great blocker. But like,
his
sets were just unhittable to me. Right. And so when it comes down to it, like, setting's about location. Can he locate regardless of size? Yes. The other things are all great, great pluses, right? Having Micah at 6'6", 6'7", that's a good blocker and offensive with a great, like, those are all great things, but he also locates.
6'7"?
I want to say 6'6".
Really?
Yeah, he's not an undersized setter.
Wow. Okay.
So, I mean, when it comes down to it, like, there are guys who are tiny, like Argentina setter, who can absolutely dish the ball, and they're going to play over the big guy because they know how to run the offense, they know how to locate, and they will find ways to cover up the quote-unquote weaknesses in their game. All right, I'm going to go for a run. I hop down on the Strand and I just take off. We're up north. I head down towards the pier. Yeah, it's a Thursday morning and I'm just out and I get up to the pier and I just see these like USA Volleyball banners that are like the little sand blocker things out there. And I like stop to look and see. I'm like, oh, that looks like Triborn. Oh, that looks like Trevor Crabb. Oh, that looks like, and just going down the list, literally, I was like, wait, what is happening right now? And then I see just like all of the USA Volleyball players out there warming up. And I'm like, what is going on? I go and just a random Thursday. I go finish a run.
Prime Norseca, like, you know, quality time.
Yeah, exactly. I get back to the house. I'm like, so there's like a legitimate beach tournament going on right now down by the pier. Like, do you want to go check it out?
Thursday morning?
It's like our one day off. And we were like,
that we're randomly in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah. We're like, sure. Yeah, let's go down there.
So we went down.
And sure enough, right when we walk up, Hurler's like setting up a camera on the court.
We're like, hey, Hurler. And then we've got the top beach athletes, some of them in the world, playing right here. And not nobody's watching.
It was
nobody knows.
It was like a pickup game. And we're like, where's, like, can we just get a videographer out here? Like the best coverage, that literally that video that was posted by ABB is probably the best coverage from that day.
I did take a couple videos of the guy that had a camera there that had a USA Volleyball shirt. And I was going to make a TikTok just like with some funny sound being like,
doing their best out here.
The problem. Yeah.
The poor guys. Poor guy's been assigned by USA Volleyball.
Don't mess with this poor guy.
He's just trying to take photos and take videos and like try and do something.
Fighting the good fight.
He's checking that box of like, this was in my job description, but I also need to do 19 other things today.
Yeah. Matt was like, don't mess with this poor guy. I was like, I could post a video right now and it would be, but
more of a sign of the times for like, for beach volleyball. My goodness. Like that sport deserves so much more in terms of production and just marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most coverage of beach volleyball happens through whatever the, like, the McKibbins choose to do.
Exactly. And the McKibbins are there. And like, why are we not promoting?
They're putting on their own events and getting more people to show up to that than actual qualifier events.
Yeah. Need more people like the McKibbins on the sport.
100%.
But they're, I mean, they are big enough now where, I mean, they that's what they do, right? Yeah. They're not playing anymore. They're just making content. Yeah. Like, they're just like, I mean, obviously they make enough money doing that. So like it needs to be a business enough, you know, for these people to enter that game. Otherwise, it just financially doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be part passion to start, right? To build, like, someone has to really go in and build it.
Someone's got to be first.
And so, yeah, I think that's definitely a part of it. But there is enough out there that I think if more and more people jump into it and are creating and getting content and filming and pushing that out, that you can make money off of it still. If you're a, you know, if you're a content creator, if you're a videographer, or you're someone that wants to build a brand around beach volleyball, then
or volleyball
that's
what in general.
Do. Yeah, or volleyball
men's
in general.
Men's volleyball. Obviously girls volleyball is a whole different thing, but like men's volleyball, beach volleyball, the black sheep of volleyball like need help.
There's so many like great characters in the sport too, right? That like you don't even have to find like these like diamonds in the rough. I mean, because it's just completely untapped, you can pick the diamonds sitting on top of the pile off of the pile because no one else has farmed that, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know. It seems like a golden opportunity for somebody to come in and freaking
somebody's
drive to survive this thing or whatever. Yeah. I mean, eventually, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean, there's always a push around the Olympic year, right? Of that's their time to shine, no doubt. And then there's a little bit of an afterglow and then it kind of fades away. And then you got to wait, you know, another 2 years until the Olympics comes back again. Continue on with our docket.
Yeah.
The next thing that we did have listed on the dock was a little AAU update. Current registration numbers. This is 10 days ago that he texted me. The current registration numbers is 1,160 boys teams. So I have a question for both of you.
75.
How did USA Volleyball drop the ball on this situation so badly?
75. For those wondering at home, that's how many teams were registered last year. How do I know that? Talk to Joe.
So we already got a 200.
Everyone's
200
only
going
to see me laughing hysterically, I had a lot to say earlier.
The crowd at home missed the last 17 minutes.
Okay.
So the question is, how did
USA Volleyball drop the ball so poorly?
It's not even that they dropped it. It's that they forgot there was a ball and AAU just grabbed it and decided that they were playing a game. USA was taking a nap. I mean,
like that.
It wasn't even like, I don't even think it's like a USA is at fault. I just think AAU just, okay, maybe. But like, I think that AAU just decided to try and was like, hey, there might be a crap load of money to be made here, and this might be a great thing for us to get our feet wet in, and oh wait, no one's gonna fight us for this.
I think that AAU hit the jackpot, and they were there at a time where USA Volleyball just had a like complete and total misstep of what they were doing with boys. Did not realize it. They were warned multiple times and didn't take us seriously, and then it happened.
Yeah, you say us, and it's I think it goes
a group
to
of club directors,
a bunch of club directors who were having issues.
And I applaud boys volleyball around the country. It is incredible what they did. Like a group of club directors that all got on the same page and said, like, enough is enough. We have to do what's right for boys volleyball. Like, this made boys volleyball take a step in a huge direction. And it's been healthy for the sport. There's no reason that this is like that even USA Volleyball could come to any of us and say that this was bad for the sport. It was great for the sport. It drove the sport into a great direction. And there was help given to club directors that needed a place for kids to go and have a real national championship. And there was too much being held over everybody's heads in their own regions and their own issues that were going on. And there wasn't any changes that were willing to be made. And so the club directors said, you know what? We have control over what's going on.
Yeah. I think it's important to like, when you think about the issue, to break down like the USA volleyball structure on how that really prevented them from being able to be proactive. Yeah. Like USA Volleyball is the NGB, the national governing body for the sport, and they run the championship and they run a number of qualifiers that gets you to the championship, right? So if you earn a bid in those events, you get to go. Each region operates on its own. It's like all of these regions are their own little entities that are technically separate from USA Volleyball. And so when you have each region doing their own thing, and each region has its own way of customer service and its own way of how they handle, you know, their club directors and their customers that are in that space, it causes a lot of problems. Southern California had a bunch of issues, and that was kind of the big, I'd say the final straw.
That was the biggest piece of all these clubs in Southern California wanting to make the move.
Yeah, like USA Volleyball is kind of takes a walled garden approach of like you come into their world, you have to play by their rules, you have to do everything their way, but each garden is different depending on the region.
Yeah.
Whereas if we tried to talk to the NCVA about running, we run a grass tournament called Grassman.
Sure.
And I reached out to them about running it through the NCVA and like having all of our kids have memberships already, trying to run the insurance through them. And they said, absolutely not. We run all events in this area.
Monopoly.
Like this is what we are the event organizers. AAU takes the approach of like, just like free market. And they're like, hey, if you want to purchase your insurance through us and it's cheap and you want to run an event, no problem. You go run your event. But you're going to compete with any other person that also wants to run an event.
Yep.
So the impetus then just falls on like who can run the best event and who can provide the best customer service.
Yep.
That's the person that wins. There's no like, hey, this region runs, these people run this region, you need to play by their rules. It's anyone could do anything under the AAU umbrella as long as you follow these, you know, general guidelines of what, you know, what needs to be done. And so it's just full competition. And so that makes everyone better. There's certainly things about, you know, AAU versus USAV stuff that like we want, like the player transfer rules and some of those things that we don't want to open up and make these Wild West type of situations where everyone's just like constantly having to fight and battle. There's certainly some guidelines that are needed and good, but having competition and having actual say about how things progress,
it's the most important thing,
is the biggest reason why I think teams have continued to add on to AAU, is that there's a lot of opportunity and they make it easy for teams to get involved.
But also when you have, I mean, boys volleyball is small. Like when a couple people go, the rest have to follow to keep the sport together. And it's the thing that girls volleyball and boys volleyball are different on. Girls volleyball, there's enough of a market for there to be two national championships.
Girls AAU numbers, there's, as of 10 days ago, 4,440 teams registered for AAU.
That's literally four times the amount. And there's a USA volleyball event that is just as big.
Yep.
So we're talking like we are 1/10 of what is going on with girls volleyball. You can't split up boys volleyball and think that is going to happen when you have the largest clubs all coming together saying we're on the same page. Let's keep us together. Let's make sure that we all are going through this in the same fair way. You have to take them seriously. There are 10 clubs here that got together and said, you know what? Enough is enough. Are you on board? I'm on board. If you're on board. And USA Volleyball did not take us seriously whatsoever. And that's the reason we left.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. In those calls and in those meetings, USA Volleyball literally said, we can't do anything about it. We're not in charge of the regions.
Hours and hours and hours of weekly meetings with club directors through COVID, through like right after COVID. I mean, how many Zoom calls were we on? I mean, it was a actual time commitment that was, it was countless.
It was a recurring weekly or twice a week.
Getting situation. Everybody on the same page, trying to make sure that we were doing right by everybody. And we had, through COVID, that was what pushed us of like, we have the time to sit down and say, you know what, like, let's all really get on the same page here. And Zoom was like a thing. Mm-hmm. And we were all able to be face to face of like, okay, we have to do right by this. And we did not have leadership at USA Volleyball saying, you know what, you guys are really valued. It's a fact.
Yep. All right. if Chad, put your CEO hat on for a second. You're the CEO of USA Volleyball now, and you want to bring boys volleyball back to USAV. What do you do?
Just give up. I mean, it's just
okay. Well, lost, Chad's
lost cause. Fire me.
This is a PSA.
I can't do it.
This is a PSA. USA Volleyball. Please don't hire Chad Gordon to be the CEO of USA Volleyball.
I just can't even imagine. No, I mean, it's the structure is fundamentally flawed, right? There is a financial incentive for all of these regions.
How do you take it back?
You have to uncouple the regions from all, like, the structure just can't work that way, right? Like, if everybody can kind of just go off and do their own thing, I mean, I just don't see how that's a long term.
So you have to rewrite the bylaws. You have to have the board come together to vote on...
Burn it to the ground and start over.
Burn it to the ground to start over.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not working, right? And so, mm-hmm. but I mean, like, the girl side is interesting, right? Because mm-hmm. it's big enough where even with all of that, and, like, let's be honest, there's a financial incentive to running these big tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You can still, hey, I didn't qualify for the open division of the U.S. Well, who cares, man? I'm going to Orlando. It's no problem. Which way are you in? Oh, I'm in the fourth wave. Oh, I'm in the 17th.
Yeah.
Shoot, you know? Girls volleyball is not going to have that problem. But on the boys side, yeah, you need everybody under one roof. Otherwise, it doesn't work, at least today. Maybe in 10 years, it's twice as big.
I hope. I don't know. I hope it sometime. Yeah.
I hope we have a 17th wave for boys nationals one time.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, there are just too many people who have their own motivations, right? Where it's tough to wrangle all those cats back into the barn. So is that the metaphor? Is that
I don't think works? I think that you've been hanging out with Matt too much lately.
Cats I like back, it. I like that one.
Matt was like, yes.
Absolutely.
Hey, cats back in the barn.
My mind immediately drew that picture. So yeah, I could see cats going back into a barn.
Oh my gosh. You too.
Sold.
What would you do, Matt, to get boys back to USA Volleyball?
I mean, I'd start talking to club directors. Right? Like, the biggest thing that USA, in the conversations that we had with USA Volleyball, the biggest things that was brought up was supporting the men's national team. Like, USA Volleyball is the group that is in charge of supporting our men's and women's national teams.
To which we want
to do. To which we responded, no problem. We want to make donations to the men's national team. Through, you know, we asked AAU to make donations with the funds that come from the entry fees for the national championship. And the response that we got was,
no,
we will not earmark it for men's volleyball. You can make a donation, but it will not be earmarked just for the men's national team.
To which, who cares? I'm going to just write Eric Soji a check.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
This is
hold
a joke.
AAU wanted to?
Oh yeah.
We asked AAU
to make
a donation.
This happened a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, Balboa wanted to make shirts with which we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing this.
Okay.
Balboa and Beta Bay shirts saying Paris Olympics supporting the men's national team.
Great.
All proceeds go to the men's national team.
Great.
We asked
USA Volleyball.
Correct.
And they would not earmark it.
Jamie Davis said no.
What the fuck? Take our money.
To which we said, we now are, okay, no problem.
What are you doing?
We're doing it anyways. And I'll write the actual individuals on the team a check. No problem. I will write you individually a check, and I will give you each money.
Some beer money.
Aaron Russell, here you go. Here is a...
The bigger the mustache,
here is a
50
cent check to whatever, or whatever, however much we get. Like, it
next
goes
month,
to
when,
the
when
national
your mustache
team.
Is
now we'll just pay the kids.
Better, yeah. I mean,
sure,
great. Double down, 100%.
Unreal.
That doesn't make any... This is one of those things I just don't get. Right. It's like, yeah, it's like a bit like when you get to the answer you're looking for, hang up or whatever, that money ball thing is like, stop beating the dead horse.
Correct.
Yeah. Dude, we're trying to give you money.
We want to support the group of people that we are trying to help produce.
Yeah.
Like, we are trying our hardest to help grow this sport in the right way. We want to help, like, that pipeline. Why would you not incentivize?
Because that was their number one chip that they tried to use to keep clubs involved, which, correct. I I get it. We want we want to support the men's national team.
No one's going to play in your national. Like,
but you have to solve.
Don't treat us badly.
You have to solve the problems at the core of the issue. When customer service is not there, and the main source of your revenue, which is the clubs, right, who are paying the entry fees, whose parents are paying the admissions, doing all of those different things, and when they're not being taken care of, you're going to seek an alternative option that is better for business.
Yeah.
That's what was done in Southern California. That's what's been done in multiple cases across the country. And when there is a free market solution, the market will go where it is better serving them.
Yep.
So if whoever the CEO of USA Volleyball is that wants to bring back boys volleyball and bring that national championship, there needs to be conversations with club directors about, hey, how can we help solve these issues? How can we help bridge the gap in these solutions? Because I think what USA Volleyball really wants when it comes down to it is they want the national championship back, because that's the actual moneymaker for them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, they made money on the qualifiers, and they got their cutback and their kickback from that in terms of they get the entry fee. They get a portion of entry fees for any of the bid tournaments. But what it really comes down to is the national championship. So how do you get clubs to get back to being in the national championship? It's understanding how they can help better provide a experience and service that makes and their clubs
let
the
us
best.
Be very clear. AAU has done that.
Yeah, that's literally, they need to do what the AAU has been doing.
And like, we're not saying that AAU has done a bad job.
No,
AAU done a great job. Has done a very good job. And so like, for this is just saying how we got to this point.
100%.
Like, it's going to be a very long road for there to be any change made, because AAU has done a great job with what they're doing.
Yeah, if AAU was not doing a good job and USA Volleyball got their act together,
totally.
Sure, even still, there still would be a split. There's people who, no matter what.
Oh, there are,
no matter
well,
what, there
I
is,
will say there are people who are loyalists on USA Volleyball, and that's it. And they're losing their clubs right now.
Yeah.
They are losing their clubs. There is no way around it. The teams in the regions that are...
Or I would rephrase it and say that they're losing players because
they
of
are
it.
For sure losing players.
There's plenty of players that are willing to play and compete. Specifically when USA Volleyball keeps the championship kind of in like a... Like the one thing USA Volleyball does is their championship rotates locations. Like last year it was Vegas, or they did Vegas. They've got Texas this year, right? And you keep it in an area
that's... Girls 18s is at Baltimore. Did you know that?
No.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you keep it in an area or a location that's a little bit easier to get to for like the West Coast or...
But the infrastructure of AAU girls is in Orlando, and it is nice to have the infrastructure there.
For
the
sure.
Stadium courts and the...
I've started to hear more grumblings this year about the...
Orlando.
Having to keep going back to Orlando than I have in the past, for sure.
Yeah, because it was new
before.
Why
is that? Just because it's new. Far?
Yeah, it's just it is expensive. Like the flights to Orlando from the West Coast is expensive.
The problem is, you know, it's July 4th and you're next to Disney and all that kind of crap, right? I mean, you're competing with a summer holiday, right? So...
It's not like USA Volleyball was sending us to the greatest locations for the tournament. No. They're, you know,
nobody's going to Indy for the whatever's going on. Maybe there's like an Indy 500.
Send me to Austin, Texas, or even
Austin
Dallas.
Austin isn't big enough. Send me to Dallas.
Dallas was fun.
Dallas.
Sandbar, baby. Yeah, no problem.
No, they just closed Sandbar. R.I.P. to Dallas Sandbar.
Okay, Dallas is out.
Yeah,
Florida's back in.
Send me to Vegas. Let's go to Vegas.
Vegas was great.
Vegas for championship every year.
That's not
a good idea, sure, but it'd be fun.
As a club director,
I'm down for
concerning.
I'm down for one of the LA tournaments to move to Vegas. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but the LA
teams is not going to be happy about that, and that's not ideal for them, but I am totally in for it.
All right, to wrap up my thought on this one. If you want to get boys volleyball back, it's communication amongst club directors.
If anybody wants to get
boys
volleyball.
And at the same time, if you're AAU and you want to keep it, you keep doing that.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's no reason for anyone to leave.
That's for damn
There's no reason for anyone to leave if you continue to show that you are dedicated to listening and hearing and being customer centric in how you handle things.
Should the national team, should the men's national team players be expecting checks from any of the Joes in the next 6 months?
Not from the Joes, probably, but from the
pretty
Turner
sure.
Houlihan Fund. Absolutely.
I'm great.
I'm pretty sure that the AAU made a donation to First Point. That was a conversation. So they made a donation, not of insignificant amount to First Point. And there was conversation about asking them to increase that even more.
Yeah.
With the demand that has come through.
I'm not even totally sold on that one.
Right.
You just want to literally Venmo Eric Soji.
Any foundation that says that they're going to support whoever, like, I'm not even totally on board with all of that. I'm just like, our men's national team is a tangible thing. Like, we have to support them. We have to support our Olympic team. Yeah. Our team that is going and training year round, going and playing pro and going and dedicating their livelihood.
The pinnacle of what our athletes
are. Yeah, like, we have to support them. And whatever is going to support them, we have to help with that.
They need cash for snacks.
And we have to buy their Honey Stingers. Like, we have to.
I love Honey Stingers.
We have to help them with their
Stroop Waffle
sponsor.
Their pre-workout. We need to do a better job of supporting our national team. Period.
Period. End of sentence. To the next part of the docket. What do we have? Last one is Capitol Hill recap.
The Capitol Hill Volleyball Classic.
I was
recap.
There.
Matt, Chad.
I was not there.
You watched it though. You saw it online. You have an Instagram.
I saw some of the stories. Yeah.
Okay. What was your thoughts?
Well, you're famous.
I'm known.
Niche. She's niche famous.
I'm niche famous.
Why have your own tournament if you're not going to be famous at it? Just lean into it. What are you doing?
Totally agree.
Who are you?
Totally agree.
There was someone in one of Ariel's Instagrams that was like, my friend owns Capitol Hill.
That was on my TikTok today.
I'm gonna text him and send him this to like try and get her in trouble.
Somebody said,
yes,
like my friend owns this tournament. Like, I'm gonna send this to them. And I was like, what?
Do it.
Who's your friend? Like, tell me about your friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to hear.
Like, who are you talking to?
Love feedback.
Yeah.
About myself.
What was your thoughts on
your
outside perspective, other than I'm famous?
I'm a big fan of the running presidents.
Oh, me too.
Those make for great content.
Okay, so here's the inside look on the racing presidents. They're called the racing presidents. They come every year. They've been to the event for
over a decade.
There's like a huge tryout every year.
As there should be.
And there's like 100 or 200 people that try out for it.
Fair.
And the heads weigh between 80 and 100 pounds, depending on which one it is.
So a lot of core strength required for this endeavor.
I mean,
endeavor.
They're very heavy, and they are like, they're it's a workout.
I feel like if you lean forward too far, it's going to be a problem.
It's like a sauna in there. Well, it's hot.
It's hot. Okay. And it's not bunny suit hot, but it's like, it's warm. I could be a handler after the amount of times that I've like done this with them, that I was like telling them when to duck and telling them when, like, the whole thing. And the guy that was their handler was new. And he was like, you could totally do this. I was like, I know, I've done this probably more times than you have by now, but the guys that do it, they like you can't see who's in it. Like, it's very under, it's like the leprechaun guy at Notre Dame. Like, you're not supposed to like know who he is or something crazy.
I thought you were going to go like guy like in the goofy suit at Disney or something.
Yeah,
like
or
that,
something
but,
like that.
You know.
Like, yeah, you have to like stay in character.
You
got
to stay in character.
It's like,
yeah.
Very, very.
You don't take your head off on court 17.
Totally.
It's unprofessional.
But they love our event because we let them do whatever they want. And we like run around and like let them go on the court and like go up and hit a ball and 100%. Like whatever. And they do these appearances that are like literally standing for 3 hours taking pictures of people and they don't move at all.
That's tough.
And they're like, we hate it. But like your event, we get to like run around and like be chaotic and like go and like mess with people. Because I literally am like, do whatever you want. Some of the referees get very upset.
Deal with it.
Like, very, very upset. Like, I got reprimanded a couple times, a couple years.
Your guys'
like,
tournament.
You need to let us know when you're going to do that because.
No, we don't.
I'm like, but I don't really.
But do we? They're 10 feet tall, gigantic like heads. Knows, like,
you'll see them coming.
You know they're going to do there for like, 30 seconds.
Hey, look.
It's the Capitol Hill Classic. Everybody will be fine.
If one of the racing presidents, you know, ruins your game, we'll give you an extra 50%
totally
match.
Like, it's totally fine.
You should hope that they come by. Because they like you're just gonna have to sit there for a couple minutes.
Fortunately, yeah, we did like a bunch of like stinty stuff at a referee guy that was like, "Here, you can have my whistle," and like he was very nice. Great. So like it was all good.
Perfect.
You gotta kind of size up the right referee for that.
Totally. Shocker of the weekend for me. I had a lot of shockers of the weekend, but big shocker of the weekend was like some of the refs like really like me. That's like a big change in my life.
I mean, it just in that bell curve, there are going to be people on both ends.
Yeah.
There must be some people on the positive side.
I mean, referees, though, I thought it was like a whole collective unit against me.
No.
They like love me now.
There's got to be a few.
Oh, the head referee's daughter like wanted to take a photo with me, and it was like a whole thing. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, but Rebecca's like family.
Yeah, but Rebecca's great. But there was like, they all thought it was like hilarious. Because I'm not fighting about wrong things. I did pitch to my mom and my brother about the stay off the sport court thing, and I got the exact response that I thought I was going to get. Of like,
from each
I
of them,
totally or? Agree with you, but like we have so many other things that we're dealing with right now. We're not going to. And I was like, yeah, I got it. Okay, whatever.
All right, so next year.
So maybe next year.
I heard you had a famous plane flight on your way out.
Oh, I sat next to Nancy Pelosi on the flight out.
As one does.
Yeah.
You guys talking video or what?
Totally wild.
Like that's the right
great talked, bet by her.
We talked about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I got on the plane, like commotion going on, and then looked over. She's wearing this like bright pink blazer. And I'm like, oh, why is Nancy Pelosi on the flight? Looked over, and then what's her, the other lady?
I don't remember. She's running for Congress or something.
All the liberals were on my flight. I was like, oh my goodness, like what's going on? Secret Service guy with a full gun, like the whole thing. And I was like, how in the world did they let me sit next to these people? Like,
I don't know.
This is wild. And then I will say the one story that I have, like that was very funny.
That we can talk about.
When we were about to take off, there's like a phone playing, like on full volume. You know how like that happens on planes where like some kid is like on his iPad.
I thought you were like some older people, like, you know, they're watching some video that their grandson sent them or something. Wait, like that.
Well,
is
so
that what you're talking about?
Pretty much. So okay. An announcement comes on of like, please put your headphones on if you're going to be watching a video. And then it didn't stop. And then the flight attendant came out to walk and looks over and it's Nancy Pelosi and she's playing her phone playing on full volume. She's like, ma'am, you have to put, like, you can't have that on full volume. She's like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh.
She's like, wait, I'm not on a private plane right now?
I'm Nancy Pelosi.
It was wild. Matt, do you have your own thoughts on the Capitol Hill Volleyball Classic in Washington, D.C., presented by New Balance and Adidas
Washington.
And Baller and Molten and Ultra Ankle and what am I missing?
Joe.
Unconventional Diner. And what else?
Make sure you fulfill all your sponsor obligations.
Yeah. It's on like repeat in my head.
My thoughts. I had fun because I brought the girls. So
on
it was
Saturday.
It was fun to try. I traveled with the girls solo. It's the first time one of us has traveled solo with both girls.
Like flight across the country. Yeah.
And they're just good travelers. We get to the tournament and then it's run by the Goldbergs. So it's run by Bonnie and Mitch and you. And so it's cool for them to see. So I thought it was important for them to, number one, to be there in the first year of Barry not being there and getting to see you guys kind of run the show. And then just, I mean, you were a circus. Like it was a circus.
Yeah, it was a circus.
Of you being
there. Chad, imagine the Cacker party for 3 days, except double it, triple it, quadruple it.
Of people coming up to you crying?
Pretty much.
A lot of people just coming up and
insane.
And
did
and
people
saying
cry?
Hi?
I mean, yeah, like
I don't know if there, I don't I didn't see any tears, but I saw a lot of people who were just genuinely excited to see you.
Like kind of like
half
it was very like
watery eyes,
like,
sure.
And walking away being like insanity. Like I seriously put the over under on 1.5 that morning. Being like, maybe somebody will come up and take a picture.
1.5 dozen.
Like, it doesn't. I took over 1,000 photos with people. It was, I'm telling you, it felt like I was in a simulation. I was like, what is happening? It was some weird stuff. People coming up being like, okay, so we think your team is really cute. And like, I'm like, wait, what? And they're like, okay, well, if you could give Peter my phone number, if you could give Zach my phone number, if you could, naming kids on my team by name.
That's really specific.
It was so specific.
Your team's got to be so juiced on that.
It was out of control.
You should only show them like people like naming Peter and Zach and just be like, yeah, Max, no one asked about you. It's so weird.
I texted our group chat. Our group chat was so funny. They were like, coach, I have an Instagram. Like, why don't you let them know that drop my at, like whatever. Max like sent the group text his phone number just written out. And I was like, Max, we have your phone number. This is your in your chat.
Just
want to make it real clear that I have a phone number. Like it
then
was,
that's when you just replied. Nobody's asking about you.
So funny. Like, yeah, I was actually blown away by the whole weekend. Riley said to me, she was like, people are asking to take pictures with mommy. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, why do you think they're asking me to take pictures? And she was like, because you're a really good coach. And I was like, that is really cool. Yeah. Like, that's a really cool thing for my kid to say to me. Like, and then she was like, goodbye. And then like ran off and tweaked out or something like crazy.
Yeah. Where's Ellie?
Yeah. It was really, it was wild.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I liked watching you because you're just in your element. And you know, sometimes you watch someone when they're like, you're in a like a flow, like you were cooking. You were just in a flow state. You were off and doing your thing.
Well, I just
and it was fun, like, really fun to see.
I have learned that I can just talk to myself with if I have a camera on me like 20 feet away, like I just feel like it's my own head that is like living over there that I could just get to talk to. And like I could do it all day long.
Well, then,
I don't know. It's a strange thing.
Just the fact that it was the Capitol Hill Classic, right? It's home too. So you have this like that location is just so natural for you, and you have been doing that for years. And
so long.
It's like literally everything that you did that weekend was what you had done for.
Yeah, the it past just decade. Was. I was just. I couldn't go anywhere without people.
Yeah, but that's like
crazy.
It's the literal target market of the people that you're trying to reach.
It's
coaches.
Well, I didn't realize, I will say, I had a conversation with somebody earlier today of like, I did not realize what my platform was until like recently. Of like, there's a lot of like feminism and empowerment stuff that like I never intended on setting out to like preach about, and it's just what I embody, I guess. And it was a very, very cool thing for me to have little kids coming up to me being like, I want to be a coach when I grow up. Like nothing that I ever thought was something in my wheelhouse of doing. And it was a very, very, there was a couple of conversations that I had with people that were super special. That were like, oh, I didn't have this when I was growing up. I didn't have somebody that I looked to and was like, oh, I want to be a coach exactly like you when I grow up. Like that just wasn't a thing. And so for that to be something that I'm like kind of stepping into is a super strange, but like very cool thing. Like exactly the space that I want to be in.
Yeah.
So it was a special event. Then like stayed up till... Like I slept the night before the event started, I slept for 45 minutes and then had to leave that night because if I did not sleep, I was legitimately going to have an aneurysm, and then slept that night and was fine. And then the next night, so the night before the last day, I got back to the room at like 12:30. And because I had stayed with my brother because my mom had gone back. So me and Mitch stayed really late until all the teams were finished. Got back to the room at like 12:30, stayed up till 2 writing the dialogue for the video that I had just come up with
the next morning.
And then decided, oh, this needs to be filmed when all the courts are not being played on, which means we need to be there at 5:30 the next morning.
See you in 2 hours.
So texted Kylan and was like, I'm so sorry, but we're going to need to be there in a couple hours. And she woke up at 5:15 and was downstairs meeting me at 5:30. And we went and filmed it within like 20 minutes before people were coming in the doors. Went up and started editing. And then that whole video, like the process of making that video was like, I don't think I've ever cried so much like through a process of making a video, which was definitely shown on the video. But like, I don't know, it was just like a really cool experience to be able to like go through. It was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely very well received by a lot of people. So it was a special thing for my family.
Yeah, it was a special weekend.
It was a very special weekend. Glad it's over. Very glad it's over. Yeah, but
it's not a relaxing weekend.
It's not a relaxing weekend.
But it is fulfilling, yeah, for sure.
I looked over and I was like,
didn't push play
there's
again.
There's a 30% chance he didn't record this.
Oh my gosh.
Thank God we have the back half of the found episode.
That scares the living daylights out of me. And on that note, I'm clicking end right now.
1, 2, 3, team.
Goodbye.